Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the times they are a changing department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Oh, are you trying to get rid of me again?
Well, that goes without saying. No, but this has to do with our wheel of automotive misfortune.
Oh, this big wooden thing that sits here in the studio.
Exactly. And when we get stuck for an answer, we spin the wheel, and it gives us an answer, so we can then go ahead and hang up on somebody.
Yeah.
Well, the time has come, you ready for this?
Yeah.
For an upgrade.
Whoa.
Now, a guy who wants to be known only as Steve from Manhattan, witness protection program, I'm sure, has sent us, you ready for this?
What?
The roulette wheel of automotive misfortune.
Ooh, a roulette wheel.
Yeah, now he says, I thought about creating the dartboard of automotive misfortune, but I didn't think you both would survive it.
Probably not. So what's the advantage of the roulette wheel?
Well, for one thing, it's about 40 pounds lighter. I was getting a hernia dragging the old wheel into the studio every week, but more importantly, it gives us more diagnostic options.
Ah.
Now, the old wheel has, I think, 18 answers on it, and the new one has 36.
That's almost twice as many.
Yeah, almost. And you can tell that Steve's listened to the show a lot, probably a little too much, because the answers on the roulette wheel are all things that we've told people, you know, like leaking heater core, bad injector. Do you have a backup question?
Yeah. Can we give it a try?
Well, sure. In fact, let's use your Fiat.
Sure.
Okay. What's the most pressing problem facing your 77 Fiat right at this moment?
That it's junk. How about that?
Well, I accept that, but would you like to be any more specific than that? Like the transmission's falling out, deep water horizon size oil leak, anything
sure,
like that?
All of that stuff. Everything.
Okay. So we'll spin the roulette wheel of automotive misfortune. Oh, listen to that sound.
Wow.
And it will diagnose your Fiat.
All right.
Okay, so let's see here. So it landed on, what is that number? 27. Okay, so I go to the list here, because he's good enough to provide us with a list. 27 is, kiss this piece of junk goodbye.
Does it really say that?
No. Actually, what it does say is, go to your auto parts store and look for anything that says miracle on the can. Just about as good, wouldn't you say?
It's perfect.
All right. Look, if you have a question for us or you'd like us to spin the roulette wheel of automotive misfortune for you, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK.
Oh,
that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Gentlemen, this is Barbara from Franklin, Tennessee.
Hi, Barbara from Franklin, Tennessee. What's going on?
Well, I have a 1999 Porsche Boxster, and recently driving it around, I am completely embarrassed.
Why?
Because what's happening is when I step on the gas or even when I go over a bump, the horn starts going off. And it's not... And it's not so bad right at the beginning because I'll pull up to a stop sign, put on the brake, and it'll go do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But then the longer I drive it, like later in the day, all I have to do is like touch the brake, and it's like I'm laying on the horn, and people are just crazed. Of course, they think I'm honking at them.
And they say, who is this idiot driving this sports car that wants me to get out of the way? Aren't I going fast enough?
Exactly. I mean, you can imagine the kind of reaction I get. As a matter of fact, recently, I've not been putting the top down because I'm afraid that somebody might hurl something at me.
Exactly.
So, of course, I want to know about the operating problem, but I also want to know the etiquette part of this. How do I let people know that I'm not honking at them?
No, there's no way.
Yeah, there's
no way out of that.
Yeah, the only way out of it is to get it fixed. And it could be something as simple as the horn pad, you know.
This is a brand new car.
No, it's a 99.
Well, for Tommy, it's a brand new car.
Brand new,
yes,
99.
Tommy doesn't buy them until they're 25 years old, but it's certainly not that old, and it is certainly something that should be easily fixed. I mean, either you've got a, I'm guessing, worn out or weak contacts on the horn pad. You know, so that thing that you press on to make the horn blow, the contacts are just exactly, they're floppy, you know, and it may be. So you have to take it someplace where they will remove the horn pad, and then drive the car and see if that still happens. If, in fact, that is the problem, then the problem will have
it's
gone
fixable.
Away. But if the problem is further down in the wiring, and it could be, you know, below the dash where the steering column is, that you could have a wire that's bare and shorting out against the steering column. So maybe the easier thing to do would be to take it someplace and have them grab a hold of all those wiring harnesses under the dash and see if they can jiggle them and push them and do whatever and make the horn blow.
They'll figure it out in no time.
But I think what's happening is when you step on the brake and you cause the car to slow, that you're changing some kind of geometry, or you're just imposing enough force on those worn-out horn contacts that you're getting the horn to go beep, 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 beep.
That'll yeah, drive you nuts.
How long has this been going on?
Well, it's only been going on about a week, but it's been getting bad.
You better fix this before somebody punches your lights out. You're getting into a fist fight with somebody.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Are you the only one who drives this car?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well,
be careful.
Yeah. Carry your mace with you.
I have always had some sort of issue electrically with this car, and it used to be I'd go over a bump and the windows would go halfway down and get stuck. So I don't know if that's related.
It probably
but
is.
But they fixed that.
Oh, yes, twice.
Twice.
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe they wired the windows to the horn. You never know. But get it into your shop, and I'm sure they'll be able to figure this out without too much trouble.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your call,
Good
Barbara.
Good luck, Barbara.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is James from Ada, Oklahoma.
Hey, James from Ada, huh?
Yeah, a little town in southeast Oklahoma, about an hour from the interstate in any direction.
In any direction.
Oh, that's good.
That's right.
what's going on, James?
Well, I drive 75 miles each way to work in the morning down little state highways where I dodge oil-filled trucks and Amish buggies. It's very picturesque, but very... very small, two-lane little roads.
Great treacherous.
So you drive 75 miles to get to work?
I do. I'm in the military, and they moved my job, but I didn't want to move my family, so I make the drive every day.
All right. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, my car that I drive on this adventure every day is a 94 Toyota Camry, and this thing is a heap. I mean, it's got 173,000 miles on it. The engine runs, but that's about the only thing that works on this thing. The windows don't work. The radio's out. The dash lights are gone out. I mean, my wife doesn't even let me put the kids in it. So it's...
No, Tommy knows all about that.
I know all about it.
The problem is, for about the last 4 weeks, when I put it in drive or reverse, when I shift from park, I hear a very loud, very solid-sounding chunk or chalk.
I don't like it.
And I don't like it either. It comes from the front right wheel area, and it happens every single time that I do it. And I just noticed that over the past week or so that now when I'm idling along at about 10 or 15 miles an hour, if I just give it a little bit of gas, I can replicate the sound as well. So it's happening without shifting in gears. I don't want to spend a penny on this car. I'm already way over what it's worth on repairs already. And I am leaving overseas in the spring. So I just need to know, number one, is this dangerous?
Did we just finish with spring?
Yeah.
All right, so you're leaving soon, but not that soon.
Right, a few more months. And I just need to know if this car can make it. I don't want to be spending money on it, but I don't want to be stuck in Nowheresville, Oklahoma on the side of the road.
How close to the interstate is Nowheresville?
No, but I mean, spring is 6 months from now or something, right?
Yes, it is. That's correct.
This is not going to last for 6 months.
Well, it might. It might. You did mention earlier that everything on the car was broken.
Yeah.
Not quite, though.
Not quite.
This is one piece that hasn't broken yet. You could be really lucky, James, and it sounds like it could be a loose axle nut. You know, the axle, the noise you said is on the passenger side, the right side.
Yes, sir.
And that axle goes from the transmission and goes through the bearing, okay, through a spline, and then it is fixed to the hub with a big nut, which usually has either a cotter pin through it or some kind of a crushing device which locks it on. If that comes loose, it will make exactly the noise that you describe. Ka-junk, ka-junk, ka-junk. And every time you step on the gas, you're getting more of that play, and the noise is getting louder. And I'd be willing to bet if you really hit the gas pedal hard, and I know you're probably afraid to do this in this car.
And you should be.
it would make even more noise. So what you need to do is get the appropriate size socket. I think it's either 32 millimeter or 36, and make sure that that nut
is tight.
And it's tight. It's like a couple of hundred foot-pounds of torque.
Oh, okay.
If it tightens up, you know, a lot, like a half a turn, my guess is the noise will be gone.
Now, can I get to this without taking the wheel off?
Yeah, exactly. It's right there.
On the outside of the wheel.
You have a hubcap? Take the hubcap off.
That wheel does not have a hubcap.
Perfect.
Anymore.
You don't have to take anything off. It's looking right at you. It's a big nut right in the center.
Okay,
so that
fantastic.
Could be it. Now, if that isn't it, then it's possible you have either a broken spring or you could have a bad ball joint or something like that. So here's the plan. Take it someplace and have them check out the front end for safety. Even though you're going to drive a few more months, you certainly don't want a wheel falling off because a ball joint was about to break.
Okay, well, I was afraid you guys were going to say transmission, so this sounds much
better. Oh, we were going to say transmission, but we didn't think you could take it. You didn't sound like you were tough enough. Yeah, we looked at Tommy and I looked at each other. No words are spoken here. We look at each other and we shake our heads.
We said, No. He can't deal with this.
No, James is not going to be able to deal. If we tell him it's a transmission, he's going to have a full-blown conniption. So hope that it's this loose axle nut or a ball joint or something like that. Good luck.
Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Great.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Charlie. I'm from Taos, New Mexico here calling you guys.
Hey, Charlie. How
New
are you?
New Mexico.
I've been to Taos, New Mexico, and I had a wonderful time there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You sound surprised.
I'm glad to hear that.
No.
No one has a good time.
Well, we showed up kind of by mistake. We had no reservation, as I recall, and we showed up during some kind of festival.
Oh, yeah, the Taos Fiestas, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And we showed up. We had to sleep in the car, but other than that, it was pretty good. So what's going on, Charlie?
Well, I have this 1988 Ford F-250 truck. It's got a manual transmission, that big 460 engine and all that. Except you're driving down the road, maybe for about a half an hour to an hour, all at once this truck starts going, and then you're by the side of the road for maybe 15 minutes to another half hour, and it cools down and starts up again.
And then it runs okay.
And then it runs okay for maybe another half hour to an hour, and then the same thing happens. So I replaced a bunch of parts. The first thing I replaced was the engine, the ignition module.
Ah, very good.
You know, we think everything's fine. You know, the wife goes into town, and it dies on her like five times while she's in town. And she's getting really, really bummed out.
Oh, come on, really?
Call me every time.
But every time it does that, she just starts it up again?
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
Oh, so it died on her, and then did it restart fairly soon after it shut down?
She had to wait again for like another, you know, 15 minutes.
Oh, so this trip to town took her like 3 days. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure she must have been thrilled.
Yeah, we gave it a lobotomy after that.
All right, so you changed the module, and what else did you change?
So another wise, esteemed friend of mine said, well, you know, your ignition coil might be getting too hot.
Yeah, that's what happens when ignition coils get hot. They conk out, and then when they cool off, they come back to life again. So you went ahead and changed the coil, right?
And no dice. Same thing. You know, I'm driving through Espanola, a bunch of traffic lights. What it doesn't like is you're going slow through like a town where there's like traffic lights. Once you get it on the highway, it runs, you know, pretty much on the straight and level.
Oh, really? So if you're traveling at high speed, it's okay.
It's pretty okay.
What do you mean pretty?
Well, it's not pretty. It's an 88.
No, but it never happens to you when you're driving fast.
There was a period when I was driving to Albuquerque where it was just kind of like, you know, acting, you know, like it didn't want to go totally up to highway speed. But then that went away.
All right, Charlie. Before, I mean, we could spend hours, you know, dissecting this and going through all the details. And I'm confident that if we were to do that, we would come up with a satisfactory answer. But we have at our disposal the roulette wheel of automotive misfortune. And I think it's worthwhile. And of course, you may have heard of our old wheel of automotive misfortune, which is just a bicycle wheel with a bunch of suggestions on it. This is a much more scientific device. I'm going to give it.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a spin. So hang tight, man.
I'm sitting down.
Okay. Here we go. Spinning around.
Oh boy, let me see.
Oh.
Oh jeez, what's we got here? Number 34. Whack the starter motor with a broom handle.
Yeah, that used to work in my Volkswagen.
Yeah, well, it works for a lot of people, but it ain't going to work on this car. But you know, it sounds to me like it could be the crank sensor that's bad. It sounds like you could have a bad fuel pump. You're going to have to get it to somebody who can witness this thing happening. And maybe have it have it hooked up to the diagnostic equipment to see in fact what your sparks are doing, to see if in fact what your fuel pump pressure is, and that's going to give you a diagnosis. We're not going to be able to help you directly. I mean, we couldn't help you. The roulette wheel couldn't help you. I mean, we've done all we can, Charlie.
Well, man, I tell sorry. You what, I'm a devoted listener. I listen to you guys every week.
Well, if we have a brainstorm, we'll call you.
I appreciate that, guys.
All right. See you, Charlie. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye. Boy. All right, look, it's time for us to take a break, and we need it after that one.
And when we come back, we'll do what?
Well, apologize for the previous half hour and beg our listeners' forgiveness. Then we'll plow on and answer some more questions about cars, naturally.
That's it. Get right back on the horse.
You're right. I call the front end. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Snow, sleet, or freezing rain, this machine can go anywhere. It's all the same. Nothing's gonna stop this here big rig. 'Cause she moves like a freight train in the middle of the night, full speed ahead to morning light. 16 hours a day just don't seem right to me. Yeah, the world don't understand the truck driving. Yeah, the world don't understand the truck driving. Truck driving.
And even though plumbers reflexively reach for their plungers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's puzzler.
No. Even I remember that there was no puzzler last week.
Therefore, there's no what?
No answer.
No answer. Exactly, right?
Impeccable logic. That's good,
thank
Frank.
Thank you. But look, if you stay tuned, we'll tell you where you can find a Car Talk puzzler this week. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny from San Francisco.
Hey,
hi, Jenny.
What's up?
I am calling today about my 2003 Toyota Corolla. And basically, the reason why I'm calling is because, unfortunately, over the past few months, my car has been broken into 3 times while parked right in front of my apartment. And basically, there's really nothing to take except for, you know, some hidden change that we have in the car. And each time, it's costing us about $130 to fix the broken window. So personally, I think we should get a car alarm. But my husband thinks, you know, they're a nuisance and a pain in the neck and just are disruptive. So he'd prefer just to leave the car unlocked. And basically, yeah. I'm just wondering what you would recommend in this situation.
Well, if you left it unlocked, I'll bet you that most of the people who break into it wouldn't even notice that it was unlocked.
They'd break the window anyway.
They'd break the window anyway.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah,
unless you put a sign.
But it's worth trying.
You put a sign
this
saying,
"This door is unlocked."
Please come in.
The sign. Yeah.
I do like the idea of leaving the car unlocked with a sign.
Uh-huh.
And an additional little tag that says, there's a coral snake living in the car.
Yeah. Don't get hurt.
All right.
I don't know. Boy, that's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just your car or is all the neighbors been vandalized?
Well, it seems to be our car is the target, and we're not sure why. You know, we live in a pretty nice neighborhood, and there are a lot nicer cars to choose from. And ours is kind of a beaten-up Corolla missing a hubcap with a few dents. And, you know, we're just not sure kind of why they're picking on our car.
Oh, maybe they figure you wouldn't notice.
Yeah, that's true. Perhaps.
So what's been missing? What's been taken from the car?
Primarily, we have a little drawer on the dashboard that has some change, and they seem to be, you know, it's a closed drawer, but they seem to somehow know it's there and open it up and take some change. And
leave it open.
Yeah, so exactly. We as of this last week, we're now leaving it open and the glove compartment open, and basically they just like to rustle through, you know, our maps and hopefully find something, but there's nothing to be had.
Maybe they're just lost. Looking for maps, trying to find the oil. So, and really, you're the only ones in your neighborhood. If you call the police to find out if there's been a rash of maybe this is like the six Napoleons, the Sherlock Holmes story, where the pearl was embedded in the plaster bust of Napoleon.
Yeah, perhaps.
You know, and someone's looking for a Corolla your color. They're looking for something.
There's something hidden.
And
yeah,
maybe they're hitting all these old three Corollas that are the same color as yours because there's something hidden in one of them. It just isn't yours.
Right. Or if there's something hidden, I wish we would know about it.
Yeah.
We could at least enjoy it.
Yeah.
So my question to us was, you know, do car alarms work or are they just a pain in the neck?
Well, they don't work because when was the last time that you responded to, and did something when you heard someone else's car alarm go off?
Can't say that I have.
No, he says, oh, someone's alarm is going off. It's a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to scare the people who are breaking in to make them walk away at least.
Mm.
I think it works.
It might work. It may.
Okay.
Except you're going to have to get up out of bed.
Right.
And go shut the stupid thing off.
That's true. Yeah, that might be a pain as well.
Yeah. You know, I think this was just bad luck, Jenny.
Bad luck? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, three break-ins. I think you're done.
Well, let's hope.
I hope so.
I think you're done. But I think you've done all the right things. You've turned your pockets inside out, basically, and show that there's nothing in the car of any value.
Mm-hmm.
But you might want to put a note on the windows to that effect. Do you have a radio in the car?
We do, but they don't.
You won't for long.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, if it's a crummy radio, they probably won't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd make a sign that says, no cash in car, nothing of value, and a crummy radio. Please leave us alone. We've been broken into three times, and we can't take it anymore.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, and good luck with that coral snake.
Yeah, we'll have to get one of those as well.
The snake is good. Go for it. See you, Jenny.
Good luck.
Great. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, coral snake might not do it. Might have to be a boa constrictor.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Do you know what time it is now?
Time to harvest the basil you're growing on the floor of your Fiat?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a previous caller and see if he or she took our advice.
And whether our insurance covered any of the damages. So who's playing this week, Tommy?
It's Mary Beth from West Hartford, Connecticut. Do you remember Mary Beth?
Wasn't Mary Beth like your fifth wife or something?
No. Mary Beth called about her 2008 Nissan Quest right after she did something unfortunate.
Well, I did something really stupid a few weeks ago. And I said, who can I call for help? And I thought of you guys.
Who are the stupidest people I know?
So here's the scenario. I'm trying to get one kid from school, rushing in a storm to get another kid, realized I'm on empty, rushed to the pump, and in the midst of the storm and everything, I put in
diesel.
Exactly.
Oh,
and I have a 2008 Nissan Quest, wonderful minivan.
See, it couldn't happen to like a 1988 Hyundai.
I know. And the car towed to the dealer. $4,000 estimate.
$4,000?
$4,000. They want to replace everything.
Oh, basically.
They're not replacing everything because everything's about
$30,000. Well, yeah. They also kind of threatened, saying, oh, if you don't do this, well, it'll void the warranty on your car.
Sorry, I took care of that myself. I put the diesel in.
So what advice did we give Mary Beth?
Well, she told us she got a second estimate from an independent shop, if I remember, for $300, and they just wanted to clean the tank, flush the lines, clean the injectors, and send her on her merry way.
And that's what I think we told her to do, right?
Of course we did, and we said we'd split the savings with her. Mary Beth, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, look, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
Unfortunately, yes.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the huge stick-on label that says gasoline only.
That's right.
Mary Beth, did you go for the $300 solution?
I did, and you were right.
Hey!
Hey!
Yay! You saved us thousands. It was wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm sure. And how many weeks ago was this that you did this?
Let's see, maybe 8 weeks ago.
How much have you driven it since then?
We've driven it probably 1,000 miles or so.
And have you driven by the dealership on a bunch of those occasions and gone, nah, 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 nah?
No, but they sent us a survey, and boy, did I want to fill that out.
Well, you can't really because they didn't send you a letter that says they're voiding your warranty because you didn't have the factory-prescribed work done.
Well, no, but when we picked it up and they charged us the $110 just to diagnose the problem, they put on there that they contacted Nissan to tell them that they recommended this and that we were going against what they recommended. But $400 versus $4,000?
Not bad.
Yeah, so that's a savings of $3,600.
Yes.
So that looks like you saved $1,800 and you're mailing us a check for our $1,800.
Oh, I forgot your address. Oh, sorry.
Well, make a generous contribution to your NPR station.
I will.
I mean, I'm sure the dealership was trying to do two things. They were trying to protect not necessarily you, but to protect themselves. They didn't want you to come. The manufacturer, at least, doesn't want you to come in, at some point in the future and have an engine problem that's related to having put diesel in it. And number two, and maybe even more importantly, they wanted to make a whole bunch of boat payments.
I think so.
You know, and nothing says boat payment like diesel fuel in a gasoline engine.
So, I know it.
All right.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chump.
Thanks for making us right once in a while. Bye-bye, Mary Beth.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Oh, why wait? Call and stump us right now. It's a lot easier than you think. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Nathan calling from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado.
Hey,
Denver.
Nathan,
yeah.
What's going on, man?
I have a question about a 2006 Jeep Liberty. I did a brake job about 20,000 miles ago, and it's not ending all that well.
That doesn't sound good.
What's wrong?
Well, I did it in the first place because I could feel that familiar pulse in the brake pedal.
Sure, sure.
So
yeah.
I took the wheels off and took the calipers off and replaced the pads and had the rotors machine, and it was great for 5,000 miles. And then I started to get that pulse in the brake pedal again.
Uh-huh.
So I've listened to you guys, and you say, oh, it's always the front wheels, always the front wheels. So I took them off again, had them machined, another 5,000 miles of driving bliss. And, that's happened 3 times in the last probably 20,000 miles. I'm thinking that something is wrong, and I need to try and figure out what it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. How did I know that?
Wow. Tommy's on his game today, folks.
I am a rock star. I am an absolute rock star at taking the parts off the front wheels of this car, though.
So every time you machine the rotors, everything's okay
for 5,000
miles. For 4,000 or 5,000 miles, and then the pedal starts to pulse again. And I obviously do a lot of driving in the mountains, and it seems like it's definitely kind of related to heat. So if I'm just driving around downtown, I don't notice anything.
No, you wouldn't at 25 miles an hour. It's when you're coming down one of those mountain passes.
Yeah, so I've gotten really good at shifting the thing into gears that are other than bat out of hell down the mountain.
Yeah,
right. I'm afraid to use the brakes.
Well, had you in fact been doing that all along, you probably wouldn't have warped the rotors to begin with.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah.
So
how many miles did you go before you needed the first brake job?
It was about 36,000.
So you had 36,000 blissful miles.
Yes.
And then you started feeling the pulsing, Yes. And you replaced all four.
Yes.
Brakes and machined all the rotors.
All the rotors, yep.
Okay. And that and then so that was at 36. And then at 41, you did it again.
Just the front wheels.
Just the fronts. And then at 46, you did it again.
Oh, and then again at 52, and now I'm at 56, and they tell me that they can't machine them anymore. And I'm like, oh, really?
Well, you're thinking you can probably see through them now. Well,
yeah.
Every time you took metal off
mm-hmm.
to make them true, you know, when the rotors are warped, they're warped, they get warped, and you have to take a metal off both sides so that the both surfaces are now parallel, and
yes.
that means you'll get nice braking without pulsing in the brake pedal. But every time you do that, you make the rotors more vulnerable. Because there's less mass there, less metal to dissipate the heat. And if you're driving down the mountains like a nut job, riding the brakes singing, Yahoo! Then you're going to overheat the brakes and you're going to cause the thing to happen again and again and again. And I'm surprised it was so predictable at 5,000-mile increments. I'm surprised it didn't start happening at like 1,000-mile increments.
Well, so I guess my question is, yeah. do you think there's something that is sticking? Like, did I not,
Maybe.
You know, grease the slide properly or something? And if that's the case, how the hell do I figure out which one it is?
Well, the way you figure it out typically is you find one pad or more than one pad on one side that's worn out more than the others. Now, you have to assume that if all the pads are wearing out evenly, that it isn't a sticking caliper.
Okay.
Okay, so if that isn't the case, then either it's the way you drive it.
Oh, definitely.
So you can mend your ways.
No.
And no. Well, then you should stock up on new brake rotors.
Mm-hmm.
No, but this is a classic case, I think, of your expecting too much from the brakes.
Okay.
You know, but if that isn't the case, let's say you change your ways and you decide instead of descending these mountain roads at breakneck speed, riding the brakes as you will. And overheating them, that you do decide to downshift and use the engine to slow the car down, and you still wear the brakes out and cause them to warp, then I would suspect you have a faulty brake booster.
I'll have to find a video on how to replace that.
Oh, yeah, but I wouldn't jump at doing that yet. I would try driving a little more sanely and using the engine and the transmission to slow you down.
Okay.
And don't ride the brakes as much. And let's see if you can get a little longer out of a set of brake pads and rotors.
Well, excellent.
All right, try to stay on the road, Nathan.
All right, thank
Good
you.
Good luck.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Ed from Timberlake, North Carolina.
Hey, Ed, what's going on in Timberlake, North Carolina?
Not a whole lot. We're out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, really?
But anyway, I have a 2008 Dodge Grand Caravan. We bought it, and it was fine, and I had a windshield wiper problem. It was coming apart, and I bought a new windshield wiper one day, and the next day, the other one started coming apart. My daughter-in-law bought one and put it on, and now the windshield wipers are doing the hoochie-coochie across the windshield. It sounds like a bunch of leprechauns up there dancing on the windshield. We can't even use them.
So when you say the windshield wiper came apart, it was the blade, the part that swipes, the part that cleans the window, the rubber.
The rubber started deteriorating. It's 2 years old.
Yeah.
And now it's when you turn them on, it starts to rain. You turn them on, and they're hoochie-coochieing across the windshield like dancing.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess you live in a part of North Carolina where there are pine trees.
Yes, there are a lot of pine trees around here.
Uh-huh. Is it possible that there are little bits of pine tar on your window? Maybe that pine tar is grabbing a hold of the blades and making it at one time do the hoochie-coochie, but also damaging the blades at the same time.
That's very possible because my wife and I are going down the road. We couldn't stand the noise, and I said, well, I'm going to do whatever the car guys tell me to do.
So I think what you need to do is get a suitable chemical. And the one I like to use, well, one of the best things to clean glass with is a brick.
Aha, uh-huh, that's uh-huh. what I've been doing.
Well, you know what works great, actually, is ammonia.
Ammonia, okay.
Yeah, and you have to do it outside where it's ventilated, because otherwise you'll black out, fall down, and hit your head. But ammonia mixed with water, and usually on the bottle of ammonia, it will tell you what the recommended mix is for cleaning glass.
Very good. This gets me off the hook with my wife, who says it was because I bought cheap windshield wipers.
Well, that's probably true, too, Ed. But I'm willing to bet that you've got stuff that you really can't even see, and that's causing the dancing.
Oh, super. That's great.
All
so
right.
Simple.
But if the ammonia doesn't work, which it will, ammonia works great. You can try rubbing alcohol. It might actually dissolve the pine tar a little faster.
Okay, super.
And then if that doesn't work, A brick. See you, Ed.
A few bricks.
Bye-bye, man. Thanks for your call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, look, we have to take a short break.
And when we come back, we'll have what?
A seminar on the geometry of bacteria. What do you think we're going to have? We'll have answers to our listeners' car problems.
I'm just checking. You never know.
Oh, it's true. You don't ever know. Well, please stay tuned. We'll be back with your car questions and some answers, we hope, in just a minute.
He's got a Mark 173 Ford Mustang sitting in the yard. He spent all his money on that thing, but he drives his girlfriend's car. He's real pretty with his frosted hair and his jailhouse tattoo. But he won't do nothing unless he's getting something from me or you. Well, I forget his name, and it's such a shame that Mississippi men are all the same.
And even though a few chunks of concrete fall off the facade of the Museum of Broadcasting whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and other puzzling questions.
Like what?
Like if I give out a puzzler in the forest and nobody hears it, is it still bogus?
I'm sure the answer is yes.
Well, I won't be giving out a puzzler this week, bogus or otherwise.
Oh!
As you, I'm sure, are aware, the puzzler is on vacation for a little while longer. But if you want to get puzzled, for every week that the puzzler is not here, we post a classic puzzler for you on our website.
Is that boguspuzzler.com?
Something like that. In the meantime, we'll take your car questions right now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Erin from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Erin from D.C. What's going on?
Well, my husband owns a 1974 MGB that's causing some family angst. He rolled it into a barn on his father's property in Worcester, Massachusetts, 23 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And there it sat. But his father recently passed away, and we're putting the house on the market, and we have to find something to do with this car. He wants to trailer it down to Washington, D.C.
No.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely. What a great idea.
All right, go ahead.
My shed, my itty-bitty shed in the backyard that holds all the little plastic toys for my 5-month-old and my 30-month-old.
And he wants to put it in that shed.
Well, we couldn't really put it on the street. It doesn't run. It's not going to pass inspection. So, but my parents live in Northbridge, Massachusetts.
There's where it's going to go.
20 minutes away from Worcester. And my dad wants to put it in his garage and tinker with it.
Oh, are you kidding me?
That's
but
it.
But my mom is throwing a fit.
Well, forget about your mother. She'll get over it. Either that or she'll run away from home. No. This is great because a couple of weekends a month, you'll be able to get rid of your husband, too. Because he'll have to go up to help your father work on the car.
My mom that this would be great because she'd get to see her grandchildren more often. We'd come up to see
her. Oh, no, you aren't going to come. She's going to come and visit you. And they may pass along the way. They can wave to each other.
But I have to say, that's a very nice car.
Well, right now, it's sitting in a gas station in Worcester, and the engine won't even turn over. They filled it with mystery oil.
I'll take it.
You can have it.
Yeah. Well, I think obviously you have to take it out of the barn that it's in now.
Mm-hmm.
It, the interim move is to tow it to Northbridge.
Right, but the problem is my mom.
Mm.
So I was wondering, I have her phone number. Maybe you could do like a family intervention.
Well, what's the problem with your mom? She
doesn't want to look at this, what she assumes is a rusting old heap of a car in her garage.
Oh. All right, how do we get in touch with her? Do we have a phone number?
Yeah, can I give it to you?
Yeah, go ahead. We only have 4.5 million people listening. We're going to get a number, but that's all right. Go ahead, give us the call.
She won't mind.
Yeah, we'll take it off. We'll take it off the air.
Okay,
go ahead, Erin.
Here it is.
All right.
Got it.
And her name is Ellen Marie.
We're going to call Ellen Marie.
I hope she doesn't swear.
We don't care.
If she does, we will too. You're going to be on hold, but you'll be able to listen in with any luck.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for Ellen Marie.
One moment, please.
Thank you.
Ellen Marie, it's for you.
Hello?
Ellen Marie?
Yes.
Hi, this is Tom and Ray from Car Talk. I don't know if you know who we are, but...
Oh, I do.
You do,
well,
eh?
You do.
We've been talking to your daughter.
Erin,
yes, indeed. Yes. And we understand that there's some talk about moving this MGB to your property. And she thought that you might be a little resistant to it.
Yes. You see, I see it's a choice between my son-in-law having it where he has no room and no time to work on it, or my husband having it in our garage where there's no room and he doesn't have a clue.
Oh, he doesn't have a clue. So when you say there's no room, how big is this building that it would go into?
It's a two-car garage.
And you, do you have two cars yourselves?
Yes.
Well, your car's going to have to stay out for the winter.
Either that or the lawnmower, I guess.
Yeah.
And when you say he doesn't have a clue, I mean, what do you mean he doesn't have a clue?
His mechanical buildings don't abilities don't extend much beyond batteries and light bulbs.
Yeah, but there's so much room for him to learn here. And the nice thing about a 74 MGB is it's...
Funny
it's,
you should use the phrase, so much room.
Well, the wonderful thing about this car, let's not just worry about the room here. The wonderful thing about this car is...
It doesn't take up much room.
It hasn't taken up much room. It has only 8 moving parts. You know, I mean, he can figure this thing out. This is pretty elemental. How about an addition onto the garage?
You know, that's a splendid idea.
Well, it could be... Now, think about this now. Most people think about putting an addition so that you have a third garage door, but you could put an addition on the back of the garage because you could pull this thing in, and then your two cars...
Could
stay right where they normally are, and this thing would be in the back there, okay, out of the sight of your neighbors, and you know it's never going to move.
Well, that's a fact.
That's a given. So it's not going to be in anyone's way.
But there will always be the hope that someday it will start up.
That's exactly what we're dealing with,
a lot of hope
and no practicality.
You put enough mistral oil under that thing, and eventually you'll break those surly bonds of rust. I don't know. Well, so the possibility of putting an addition on the back of your garage, does that exist?
Well, I'll take it under advisement.
Okay, that's all we ask.
We need to speak to your husband.
Do you? Well, just one second.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, this is Tom and Ray. What's your name?
Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Look, we had great luck here. We just talked your wife into putting an addition onto the garage. Okay? So the addition's going to be on the back side of your garage. The neighbors won't even know you did it. In fact, you probably don't even have to get a building permit out there in Northbridge or wherever the heck it is that you live. You could just throw up some cement blocks, throw this thing up there, drive this baby in there, and it'll be there for the next 45 or 50 years. And by then, it'll really be worth some dough.
Yeah, an alternative is, you know, we have a pool in the backyard, and we don't use it that much. We could just build a little ramp into the pool and cover it up with one of those plastic tarp covers.
You could do that, huh? I like the idea of the garage addition.
You like the garage better?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you think that you would be moved to work on this car, that there might be a chance that you and your son-in-law?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you can get it running.
Are you serious?
Well, they're pretty simple. They're really simple.
No, you'll never get it to run again.
I've had the very car.
In fact, this may be the very car.
It might be mine.
It could be.
Yeah, any cigars in the glove box? Because if there are, it was Tommy's. Well, listen, Bill, I think you ought to consider having this thing on your property. I mean, after all, this would be an opportunity for you to bond with your son-in-law.
I think it's a great idea too.
And you need a spot for it though. You can't display if you try to get your wife out of her spot in the garage, she's going to poison you.
The thing is there's enough room. This is not a long car.
No.
And there's
no.
enough room on the side so that I could sort of get it over there.
Oh, or you could tuck it in a spot.
Yeah.
Oh, go for it.
Do it then.
Go for it then, yeah.
Okay.
All right, man.
Good luck, Bill.
We're glad we solved this family crisis.
Me too.
Put us on the Christmas card list, will you?
I will.
See you later. Bye, Erin.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ellen Marie. Bye, Bill.
Bye.
Gosh. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Maha from Arlington, Texas.
Maha? M-A-J-A?
No, it's M-A-H-A.
Well, I took a guess.
H-A.
So I have a Chevy Impala 2003. It's a police edition. I bought it in Connecticut. It belonged to the NYPD before that. It's a 3.8-liter V6.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it in 2006 with about 87,000 miles.
That's what it had when you bought it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and then it had another. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of vehicle that even though it doesn't have a lot of miles, it's been running for a lot of time.
Yeah, so it has the equivalent of about 150,000 miles on the engine.
Yeah.
On the engine.
Yeah, when they sit there at the donut shop, they never shut the engine off, you know.
I know.
So anyway, so you bought the thing at 87 and go ahead, continue the story.
And it's been running well till about last month. I started getting the feeling that it was a little jerky when I started from a traffic stop. And sometimes the noise and jerkiness is so much that I almost look behind to see if I have been hit.
Oh, so you're getting, you're getting a harsh shift.
Yeah, it's like gathunk. But it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, it actually started happening from the time my wife started driving it, but I don't know if it's got anything to do with anything.
Oh, if there's a way to blame it on her, we will. Don't worry, Mahad. So how many miles does it have on it now?
Now it's got about 98,000.
Okay, 98. Let me do the quick calculation. So you got 161,523 miles.
Okay. That's good.
So I just want to know if I have to take it to the mechanic and what do I tell him? Like, it's just fix it whatever be the cost, or just do I have to junk this car and buy a new one?
Well, no, there may be nothing wrong with it. Sometimes these harsh upshifts can be taken care of by reprogramming the transmission computer.
Okay.
Okay, so you may need what's called a software upgrade. And they do that by plugging a machine in to the car's computer and inputting updated information that makes the computer tell the transmission to shift differently.
Okay.
So it may be that you need that, and that's fairly common on these.
So I can let my wife drive the car again.
Yep, you can. Yeah. The other possibility is that you need a transmission.
Okay.
I would do the first thing I would do is take it into a Chevy dealer.
Okay.
And have them look at the transmission for you. Can look at it yourself, but have them look at it, and you should be there when they look at it. And if it's very dirty, you might want to have them change it.
Okay.
And if they change it and that fixes it, great, but they may recommend the software update.
Okay.
What are you doing there in Arlington, Texas, anyway?
I am a scientist here at University of Texas.
Oh, yeah? What are you working on?
What kind of scientist?
Well,
can't tell us.
I'm in chemistry. You can never say, but yeah.
No, can never say. Okay.
Okay.
that's okay. I know you're probably working on the Gulf oil spill or something like that, but
we don't want to know.
We don't know. You're going to have to kill us. See you later, Ma.
Okay. See you. Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey guys, this is Holly calling from Janesville, Wisconsin.
Hi, Holly.
Holly from Janesville?
Yep, Janesville, Wisconsin.
So what's going on?
Well, I was hoping you could help me with an investigation on my car and maybe come up with some ways to experiment for me.
Oh, okay. We love these things.
Well, I drive a 2004 Ford Focus sedan, and I have a problem with water pooling up behind the driver's seat, and I get about an inch of water, but it's a strange problem.
In the back seat?
Well, it's the back seat on the floor.
On the floor, yeah.
Yes. And it's very strange because it doesn't happen every time it rains or snows, just occasionally. And the times that it has happened, the car has been parked facing either west or south, and usually it's on some kind of incline. And I can't figure out where this leak is coming from.
Yeah.
But it never happens if it hasn't rained.
Correct.
Aha! Aha! See, I knew it!
It's rain.
It's rain. I mean,
that's
the most
good, Frank. You were right there.
Oh, I was
right on top of it.
I know, man. I know. I got a good night's
I'm
sleep.
I'm proud
last
of
night.
You.
I think
water, rain. You put those two together without even thinking of it.
I know. Unencumbered by the thought process. Well, it's.
I know, it's a strange problem, and it doesn't happen in a car wash, and I get nervous. I park outside at work for 10 hours at a time in the pouring rain, and it will never leak, but I can park outside 2 hours in some specific locations, and I'll have an inch of water.
Yeah, do you have a sunroof?
No, I don't.
Ah, no, if you had a sunroof, you'd really have leaks. It's probably coming from the front windshield or the back windshield.
Really? Well, the seat is never wet, and neither is like the door panel or anything.
No, it doesn't come through that way. When water comes in through the failed seal around the windshield, it almost always leaks down like behind the dashboard.
And comes underneath.
And onto the floor, and then will find its way under the carpet sometimes to the back or the front.
Okay, now could it have anything to do with the fact that sometimes when I stop my car, I hear this sloshing noise of water like a bathtub going down a roller coaster?
Withholding evidence, Ollie. You hear the sloshing because your air conditioner evaporator drain might be plugged up.
Well, I don't have air conditioning in the car.
I mean, you don't have air conditioning.
It never had air conditioning. It was never installed.
Oh, really? Doesn't it get hot in Wisconsin?
It's really hot. I don't like the car.
So were you crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, it could be then that water has gotten in through the ventilation system and is trapped in there and can't. There's a drain for that, because water and air come in through the cowl. That's that grate that's right in front of the windshield where the wipers are, and then escapes through drains at the bottom. It's possible that those drains are plugged.
And so the water is not coming out.
Yeah.
It's staying in there.
So someone's going to have to take apart your ventilation system and find out what's plugging this thing up and clean it out. Yeah, that's probably more likely what it is.
Oh, okay, great. Good to know.
Yeah, that's what it is. So you withheld evidence, but that's all right. We forgive you.
Well, I didn't put it together until the other day. I heard water, and I thought, well, maybe this is part of the problem.
Yeah, I think it may be. So I think that water, and it may be, my vague recollection is that it's a problem that these focuses have. I think we've seen that in the shop a few times.
Okay, wouldn't be surprised.
All right, good luck, Holly.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've defenestrated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bikini Atoll, Shrimp Creole, Sliced Brajol, Fried Spring Roll, Noodle Bowl, Filet of Sole, Confiterole, Lunchtime Stroll, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. My brother's home health aide from the Rome office is Anita DePenza. Our rafting guide is Euphrates Rapids. Our obsessive yard care specialist is Moses Lonigan. Our head of purchasing is I Know a Guy. Our cosmetic surgeon is Zbigniew Cups. Our director of proverbial wisdom is Burton DeHand. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the sunbathing traffic cops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother, please.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1035, traipse through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the return of Deep Plaid.
Yes, yes, Deep Plaid is our undercover man on the sales floor. And this week, he reports back from the showroom on what sneaky techniques he and his colleagues use to get you into a new car today. It's very interesting stuff.
Does he reveal all kinds of state secrets?
Yes, he even previews, the new fall white belt and white shoe collections.
Great!
Check out Deep Plaid's inside report on selling cars all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though dolphins curse their human-like intelligence whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.